extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Good morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
Welcome to Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy. This week, I'll be talking with Michelle Bongiorno, a certified resonance repatterning practitioner and teacher who is specialized in trauma healing and brings her training and experience to this very important subject. Today, we'll focus directly on a deeper, on a deeper understanding of trauma. We'll understand how its presence is often camouflaged, as well as the impact past trauma has on our lives. We'll also see that there is hope for healing trauma. You know, I love author Peter Levine's statement about trauma, that it is not a life sentence. And it's important that each one of us deepens our understanding on the nature of trauma so we can identify common problems or symptoms we may experience because of unresolved trauma. Trauma is a subject we all need to be informed about, particularly because there are very hopeful breakthroughs in the resolution of trauma. It's a topic that's relevant for all of us, either because of our own unresolved traumatizing experiences or because of the unresolved traumas someone we know and care about may have. So today, Michelle will explore this theme of trauma in our life. And welcome, Michelle, to Living in Tune.
Thank you, Chloe.
Wonderful. We're here. Michelle right now is on the East Coast, so we're across the continent from each other. Michelle, trauma is such an important subject. In a nutshell, then, what is trauma?
Well, in a nutshell, trauma happens when we're exposed to something that's really threatening to us or that we think is threatening to us. And in that experience, we become overwhelmed, and then we're not able to bounce back from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's anything that overwhelms our capacity to cope. And in a nutshell, that's it.
Yes. And why do you think then it's so important for us to look at this subject of trauma?
I think for several reasons it's important that we understand this. One is that the symptoms or problems we experience in life might never, ever be associated with the traumatizing or overwhelming experience that we had in the past. We may not even remember that experience, or we may not even have logged it in our memory as being significant. Also, we often tend to think of trauma as relating to horrifying, disastrous, violent, or abusive type experiences, but we often don't realize that our body, our systems, which is where trauma is held, can become traumatized through very common life experiences, such as falls or injuries or medical experiences.
Some dental traumas, could that be a trauma?
Dental traumas, falls, injuries, separations, losses. Through the media, we can be exposed to a lot, and we can experience secondary trauma, so automobile accidents. And so it's important for us to understand trauma because the symptoms often don't in any way seem to relate to what took on, you know, what took place.
Yes, because so often we do think of trauma as being an abuse situation. And so can you tell us a little bit more then about trauma in terms of this threat response that that overwhelmed our capacity to cope? I take it there's a predictable sequence of survival responses that we go through when we're threatened, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. So it's very important for us to remember that trauma is held in the body. It's primarily an instinctive and biological. The human response to threat is primarily instinctive and biological. So we're not going to find the healing for trauma in the event itself. It's history.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're all animals, including ourselves, are created with basically a built-in plan for survival. So whether it's your dog, your cat, you, me, an infant, we're going to go through similar responses in how we respond. So when we sense that there's a threat, it happens very quickly. Our system responds to begin preparing. Our muscles tense. Our muscles and bones get prepared for responding to whatever the threat is, and we begin searching for the danger and a way out. And if we assess the situation that there's a real threat, or it seems to be a real threat, with our bodies mobilized, we begin to produce certain chemicals in the body that are going to energize us to fight or to flee. Those are the two basic initial plans for survival that are built into us. Mm-hmm. And then we either escape by running or fight. We either escape the threat or we destroy the threat. And then our nervous system, which mobilized all this energy, it no longer needs to be aroused, and it just calms down and returns to a state of equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a third built-in plan of action, in case the first two, fighting or running away, doesn't work. And in those cases, when we become overwhelmed by the threat but can't do anything, we move into a freezing or an immobility response.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like playing dead, you mean?
Yeah, like playing dead. If it was an animal, we can think of it a little bit more, you know, simply. That response might fool the attacker into losing interest, or it might allow a chance to escape. But also, if something does happen, we've disconnected a little bit from that high overwhelm of arousal in our system, so that if we are going to be injured or killed, we will not actually experience the pain in the same way. You often hear about this with soldiers in the battlefield who will not even realize they're injured till much later. They'll look down and see they've been hurt. They've gone into that freeze or immobility response, which does not mean they're necessarily paralyzed from action, but they will not feel the threat in the injury if it comes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very much a protective response then.
Yeah. And it's great to know that these responses are built into us. They're there. We can count on them. And it's when we get caught in these that we end up having problems.
Yes. Yeah, so the basic idea then in all responses to threat is that there is a sequence that we are meant to go through. Now, in a trauma that we're holding in our body then, these normal responses to threat then in some ways don't complete or they don't get resolved. So what exactly then happens?
Well, in the normal sequence, when we fight or we escape from the threat, we either overcome the threat or escape from it, what happens then is we discharge a lot of that aroused energy that helped us to successfully do that. But if we're not able, if we get caught in that highly aroused state and we're not able to discharge that energy that's been built up, then this is where we're going to end up remaining what we'll call traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So if it hasn't been dealt with successfully, the energy stays in our body. So when the energy of this highly activated state is not discharged, the body continues to think it's still in danger,
mm-hmm.
and it continues to prepare to respond to that danger. Mm-hmm. But the body can't maintain that level of readiness and arousal without the means to respond effectively. So time can go on, but the messages are still going from the body to the brain, danger, danger, danger.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is the body then finds a way out of that cycle by taking that bound energy and that energy that was built up to be able to fight or escape, and it binds it and it organizes it into what becomes symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So the symptoms that develop, which are our problems, they can be physical, emotional, mental, relational, productivity oriented. They can come in many forms. Those symptoms act as a safety valve for the nervous system that can't live at that heightened state of arousal. And each person's system will adapt differently. And so traumatic symptoms appear, but because they're different in every person, there might be some similarities, but they can be very, very different also.
Mm-hmm. So many people, as you have said, are not conscious of the trauma they might be carrying from their past experience. And why is it important for them to know that their present problems are a symptom of trauma?
You know, I remember when I was first learning resonance repatterning from you, Chloe, and heard your first introductory video, you were saying if we know the structure of something, we can change it. But we often don't know the structure of our problems. When the problem is an outgrowth of trauma, it's helpful to know that because it's very definitely going to let us know what we need to hold in mind as we go about the healing of it. It's important to understand that the body very naturally moves through much trauma on its own, very naturally. We're made to be able to re-regulate, to have threatening events come into our life, to be able to be resilient and respond and come back to a normal equilibrium and be able to function. But if that's not the case, that trauma gets held within us in a certain way, and knowing that it's held because of the traumatic cycle that I was just explaining can help us to know the critical places to look to be able to respond and bring healing and relief of suffering in a so much more effective and faster way.
Yes, because I'm actually just thinking of somebody may, let's say, have a symptom of migraine headaches. In one situation, it may not be due to trauma. In another situation, that symptom could be related to trauma. That really, as you're doing the resonance repatterning process, that step by step, it will take us to that place of trauma. I mean, is that something you found in your work?
Yes. It's important to know that traumatic symptoms usually appear in constellations or syndromes, and these become increasingly complex over time. So to be able to know how does one move into this traumatized state where the biology, the physiology becomes deregulated and it's not able to be to function in the normal way, it's important to know that so that we can take that into account when moving through it. And you make a very important point in that not all symptoms of trauma are necessarily trauma-based. Or let's just say a given symptom, let's say sleeplessness or hyperactivity or certain stress or nightmares may have a traumatic base or they may not.
That's right. And when it does have a traumatic base, I mean, certainly what I found in my own experience is if I'm doing a particular repatterning for resolving the trauma, if that symptom is trauma-based, it's amazing how quickly that symptom goes away. It can often, you know, be released quite quickly. We do have actually a break coming up right now, and when we come back, I really like to go into how animals handle these threats and traumas that they deal with every day in a different way from the way we do as human beings. So we'll be back with you after this short break.
It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Listen closely because I'm about to ask you something that has probably never crossed your mind. Did you know that physical illness, depression, toxic relationships, financial struggles, even obesity, all have their roots in dysfunctional family patterns? Liz Tobin, a certified resonance repatterning practitioner, can help you begin to heal today. This breakthrough technique enables you to create positive change in any area of your life. You will effortlessly respond differently to situations and begin to attract new scenarios and opportunities in your life. Here is what people people are saying about the Clearing Family Patterns Proxy Group.
This is planetary healing on a group level.
I've had this constant backache my whole life. It disappeared after just one session.
When you join the Clearing Family Patterns Proxy Group, you can clear these patterns. You'll be amazed at how each session seems tailored just for you. Try a free demonstration today. Learn more at liztobin.com.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
We're back with Living in Tune, talking with Michelle Bongiorno about trauma and trauma responses and the sequence of how our body tries to handle threatening situations through tensing up, through searching for the danger, through mobilizing huge amounts of energy for a fight-flight response, and then releasing, discharging that energy in an escape or fight response. And then, of course, calming down after the situation is over. And that trauma, it really occurs when we don't go through that sequence. We can't complete that sequence. The question I have for you, Michelle, then, is then when you were explaining about how the body responds to threat, you said that all animals have a nervous system that responds this way as well. And animals in the wild can be threatened many times a day in their lives, and yet they don't seem to be traumatized by facing threat and death in the same way we do. So how do you explain that difference?
Well, animals in the wild, which is quite different than animals who are domesticated or in captivity, they discharge after every threatening event. They do this through trembling, through shaking, through movement, running it off, jumping. Humans have a harder time completing the cycle and discharging that energy immediately after every time the system moves into arousal. And for a couple reasons. One is the survival energy can be so intense that it can frighten us. And also, we can be uncomfortable kind of surrendering our conscious control or involuntary sensations and movements. So, and just to let our bodies go into what would normally happen to just release that. I'm thinking of a colleague who shared the experience after Katrina and was working with some of the people in New Orleans, and the one of the men was listening to just the normal cycle for the body to go through and then to discharge. And he just breathed this huge sigh of relief because he'd been experiencing a lot of this intense trembling. And he could say, oh, so you mean I'm not crazy?
Yeah.
And because it's uncomfortable, or we may not understand the body's natural way for doing this, our higher brains, because of our fears and our rational higher brains, we can try to override the completion process,
mm-hmm.
and the nervous system then stays in the state of arousal.
Okay.
So the threat's gone, but the brain and body continue to respond as if it still exists, and it continues to spew out those fight-flight chemicals and messages,
yes.
that we're in danger.
Yes, fantastic. This is very important for people to realize, because even when you're doing sessions with people, they can go into that trembling, and people can, as you say, can go into fear rather than realizing that the energy is moving, this natural instinctual energy of this release of discharge that we've been holding on to for sometimes for years and years, even decades, can be released quite easily.
Yeah. And if we understand that, then we'll allow it to happen. We'll use our abilities to regulate it so it doesn't happen in a very chaotic, fragmenting way.
Mm.
And we can experience great, great healing from allowing those natural mechanisms to play forth. And that's why animals in the wild are not traumatized.
That's right. Yes, you can see it with horses trembling and dogs rolling around on the grass after they've been frightened or whatever. It's just a natural thing. And how actually do you regulate it then in a way that is kind of more controlled or less haphazard?
You know, in one of the elements of trauma that leads to the overwhelm and an inability to cope is too much too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the trembling starts coming, if we just can tell ourselves or tell a person we're with, if we're in the middle of a session or even just in the middle of a life event, to just slow it down. Mm-hmm. Or to even remove the fear factor by telling someone, oh, that trembling is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That trembling is letting all of the fear out of your body,
mm-hmm.
so that you'll be able to think more clearly, act more wisely. So I slow down my speaking,
yeah.
I explain, and I ask the person also to just slow it down.
Yes.
Let it happen, but without going. It's like taking a balloon that you blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You can just let it go, and it'll blow wildly around the room
mm-hmm.
and end up in a relaxed state on the floor. Or you can hold that balloon and at the very end just let the air out very slowly and more contained.
Nice.
And that's what's a more beneficial
yes.
discharge response.
Good. That is very good information, because even, you know, with parents with their children or teachers with children or anybody in a traumatic situation, these are nice little hints that people can be aware of. And of course, Michelle, you have worked with traumatized people, tsunami survivors in South India, and I know that you often only saw people for one or two short sessions. What problems were these people experiencing that were the result of this natural disaster, a natural threat, and can any significant or lasting change take place in that kind of short amount of time with just one or two sessions with them?
You know, it's important to know that trauma can be held in a very complex way within the body and be quite tenacious. And if we also realize that it's a lot of arousal that's been bound, and if we release it, we're going to get change in symptoms, we can hold both the complexity of the healing of it and the ease with which symptoms can be reduced significantly. So with the survivors of the tsunami in South India, and when I was there for a couple visits, we would see, this is like 6 months to a year after the actual event, we might see fishermen who were still afraid to go back to their livelihood to return to sea. We might find that because of the nervous system response that they got stuck in, eyes are dilated, so the bright sunlight of the day would disturb them in ways that it wouldn't before. You could find that domestic violence rates increased, or people who were just easygoing before were suddenly angry, irritable people. You'd find a lot of somatizing, the body, somatic responses, rather, a lot of aches and pains and rapid heartbeat and palpitations and symptoms that the medical doctors weren't always able to bring under control because they weren't necessarily from medical, because of medical causes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not something you would necessarily attribute these symptoms to the fact that a tsunami wave came in and devastated the village.
Mm-hmm. And so in one or two sessions then, you were able to take them through that sequence into the discharging?
Yeah, absolutely. And many of these people we'd see for a single session. Now, in this work, there was actually follow-up 4 weeks later and 8 months later, and a whole report on that work is in the September 2008 Journal of Traumatology, the research that was done from that. But even at that 4-week and 8-month period, 90% of the participants were able to say that there was significant improvement or absence of the original symptoms that they came in with.
Mm-hmm.
But if we understand what the mechanism is for healing trauma, and we were working with it fairly recent after the event, over time, traumatic symptoms become more staunchly held within the body. But because they had the advantage, some of these people, of having response early on, they were able to move through these symptoms, and we would also teach them within that. We would have maximum 75 minutes, you know, in a in the 1 to 2 sessions we do. We would teach them how to do this very simply so they could go home and continue this with themselves and do it with their families and their neighbors, and which is really where the empowerment comes.
Yes.
If our bodies operate this way, we should know so we can help it.
That's right. So it's a, there's a natural process that we can learn to do. Learn to apply. And what exactly did you then teach them? I mean, it was kind of similar to what you were talking about earlier in terms of the discharge, or did you teach them any breathing exercises, or what exactly did you do to help them release the trauma from the tsunami?
We would actually work with them, almost reversing the arousal cycle that I outlined for you. So something would bring up the arousal in them. They would feel it as anxiety or tension or constriction in their bodies. The first step, that's what happens when we sense a threat. And then we would have them look for signs of discharge in their body, you know, and we would teach them what those were, where to look for those. And so they would understand them when they felt them. And then this is where the higher brain comes into help rather than hindrance with healing trauma, and that by turning their awareness and watching that, very similar to watching a bathtub drain,
mm-hmm.
they would be able to, they could actually sense the discharge from their body. It's a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And with that then, with the reduction of arousal in their body, they would start feeling a new state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important part. We would call it the inner medicine. You know, when we have the shift in a session, that type
yes.
of thing, when they start noticing a shift happening by giving attention there, that then spreads and integrates in the body. And the body and the nervous system and the different systems of the body return to a state of equilibrium at that new place of what we call in resonance repatterning coherence, balance, ease, relaxation. And you would see some of these fishermen who had not been able to fish since the tsunami, they might come back for the second appointment and they'd say, oh, I went out fishing the next day.
Wonderful.
And then you sit there and you wonder, how can that happen? But it's very important. The final step of what we teach them is, can you go back over the simple steps that we did so you can do it again when that arousal comes up within yourself? Can you teach your family members that? So it's like that if you really do study trauma healing, there's a lot of complexities to it, but it's also important to know that you can do these very laser-like simplified processes that can really move people through the suffering and the symptoms they're experiencing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, and so and the signs of, you were talking about the signs of discharge in the body, so some of those signs would be things like a tingling sensation, or what kind of signs would you get them to be aware of?
Yeah, we usually teach in terms of tanks and pipes, and that the chest and the abdomen and the head are the tanks that where a lot of this arousal that's bound in the body becomes held. It can be held in any parts of the body, but these are central areas where it's often held. And then the pathways out are the arms, the legs, and then the head. The head can be a tank or a pipe. And then when we look for sensations of tingling, it can be warmth, it can be trembling, it can be kind of a buzzing or electrical type feelings. It can be a sense of flow or movement. And when they notice these, then they turn their attention to them, and that higher brain awareness actually facilitates the discharge continuing.
Mm, wonderful, wonderful. We'll take a break right now, and we'll be back very soon continuing to talk about this amazing way of how we can, with ease, do our natural instinctual response of releasing trauma in our body rather than holding on to it for years and it causing trouble in our life and relationships. We'll be back very soon after this break.
It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer.
whatever it takes. Don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming!
Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Back here with you, Michelle, talking about trauma. We were talking about the trauma of the people who survived the tsunami in southern India. And, you know, that must have been very different for you when you worked with the Zulu women in South Africa and these women who are victims of violence and injustice. So the cause of these two different traumas are quite different. And what kind of trauma healing skills did you teach the Zulu women in rural South Africa? And how are these two traumas different? Did you see a difference in them?
I think fundamentally we need to understand that the basics of trauma healing does not matter, does not depend on the event. Mm-hmm. The fact that there is extensive arousal held in the body, the nervous system is very dysregulated, and that needs to be discharged in the body to return to equilibrium. Now, because of different traumas, there may be certain aspects that make a difference. So, for example, there might be a great deal of powerlessness when, in the face of a tsunami wave coming in, when you can do nothing about it, you know, but run. You know, you can't stop that. You can't fight the threat. You can escape from it.
Mm-hmm.
When we work with violence or violent types of abuse, as with the Zulu women, you're working with assault, and you're going to see tremendous rage held in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so in working with it, the basic principles were the same. What is it that will release that heightened arousal so that the body can return to a more regulated state and the symptoms begin to disappear? I think you'll find things like, I was struck by the land in South Africa and the women, it was rural women I was working with, their connection to the land. Land was actually a resource that helped to ground them. They would sing a lot. So while my purpose there was primarily to teach them skills that they could go home and work with, I knew when I went there that we were going to use singing a lot.
Mm.
And they would sing tremendously. Again, it was something that calmed the system and helped it. Arousal would come up, and then we would use the land, or we would use singing, or their social, strong village social network can actually help to bring the dysregulated nervous system back to states of calmness. And with that, it's like a balloon when it's very tight and you can't blow it up at first and you kind of stretch it and then it gets easier and easier and easier to blow. We're bringing resilience back to the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so in many ways it was the same, and in some ways it was different.
Yes.
Because of the type of trauma.
So you really didn't see rage with the tsunami victims.
You did see it as a symptom. I saw it as a symptom when I mentioned the increased domestic violence or people
uh-huh.
becoming irritable and all. It would come out as a symptom, but in terms of the actual healing sessions, there was a lot of rage in these Zulu women wanting to be expressed and a lot of very forceful wanting to fight back. And we can let the body do that without it having to act out. You've got a nation there in South Africa where you have intense brutality and violence, but you also have a very traumatized population, and you have a history where all segments of society are traumatized. And so it's not surprising that you see the degree of violence that you have there, and the trauma healing can open the doorways for a change in those types of social problems.
Yes, and I'm really seeing, too, in resonance repatterning, how we can see this attempt to discharge this highly mobilized energy through violence, but of course that never does it. It never discharges the energy. You can't discharge that mobilized energy through violence. Although it seems to be acting out in that way, that we have to go underneath that to find what are the patterns here, the resonance
mm-hmm.
that really needs to shift.
What we need to know is that the healing of trauma, the way the energy is discharged, is by completing that arousal cycle, which I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So often there does have to be, I mean, not often, it's very often, especially with rage, it opened huge doorways for me when I realized and was taught that to heal this intense rage, there needs to be movement.
Yes.
And it has to be the incompleted movement that would have led to a successful fight response or fleeing response. So the body still needs to go through that. It doesn't mean you have to do it violently.
Mm-hmm.
So these women in South Africa would love going through the motions very slowly of the actual fight response because that was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So in response to what you said, the actual violent actions are not necessary, but the movements of the body, the blocked movement that would have been done if they had successfully fought back in those situations where they didn't or couldn't, that needs to take place. That is part of the healing. And if we understand that, then we can facilitate those movements much more skillfully or allow them to happen in ourselves.
Yes.
And that's true with violence. That's true if you're in a car accident. That's true if you've fallen off a bicycle. You know, there had to be certain movements that would have, if they were effectively done, protected you.
Yes.
And when those don't happen, being able to allow the body to go through those movements in the exact way the body wants to brings tremendous discharge of that bound-up energy.
Yes, and again, it's in a regulated way.
Yes.
The same way that you were talking about the tingling or whatever, or the trembling that they can control where it doesn't go into too much and too fast and overwhelming their system,
mm-hmm.
That the movement also then could be done in a regulated way. Yes, I always remember this woman who a man attempted to rape her, actually, in New York, and she just fought tooth and nail, and he got frightened and ran away. And she was left in a euphoric state because she'd actually completed the cycle, and there was absolutely no trauma there for her whatsoever because she had mobilized this enormous energy and had just discharged it in a successful fight response.
Absolutely.
And so she was just fine afterwards. But it's when you can't fight or run away, as you say, that whole sequence gets truncated. So, Michelle, these amazing experiences you've had, and what did you bring back home to your work in the U.S. from these two extraordinary experiences in India and South Africa? Because you're also, of course, working with trauma right here in the USA.
I think what I bring back home from wherever I work, be it with myself doing self-sessions or in far corners of the world or right here in my own neighborhood, is experience. And there's such learning from seeing the diversity of ways that that this common biological process and physiological process plays out in different human beings. And that experience, also, besides the experience that I bring home that helps me in working with other people or in teaching, I just bring back such a commitment and such a belief that suffering can be diminished in our world, and that people can be empowered to learn to diminish that suffering for themselves and for others, and that it's not always rocket science, and it doesn't always have to be in the hands of the professionals, although the professionals have a very key role to play. And so I bring back a lot of hope.
Mm.
I bring back a lot of commitment.
Mm. Yeah, lovely. Lovely. And, of course, you spent many years bringing resonance repatterning and trauma healing to the families in the South Bronx of New York, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And these families, you know, they're at risk for abuse and neglect and the removal of their children to foster care. And so what are the problems and behaviors you see in these children and families that relate to their history of trauma, but also their daily experience often of trauma?
You know, in the population that I work with, families at risk, it's a very traumatized population to begin with. In our neighborhood, we have some of the highest incidents or the highest rates of incarceration in all of New York City.
Mm.
And so we have people who, because of their own traumatic background, have acted it out and are acting it out in many ways that are a call for help.
Mm.
And so many of the students, I work a lot with adolescents right now, you're going to see it manifesting, for example, as disruptive behaviors in school. Many diagnoses of ADD or ADHD. You're going to find a lot of high-risk behaviors, drugs, promiscuous sex. You'll find a lot of conflict and violence in the family or in the neighborhood, you know. A lot of anger, you know, you could keep a whole organization just running on anger, itself, you know, working with that. It's a whole industry in the United States, anger management. When they come to, Highbridge in the Bronx, I always, when I get a referral, say, here we're not going to do anger management, we're going to do anger reduction.
Uh-huh.
We're going to discharge that from the system. Mm-hmm. Then with what's left, that can be managed.
Mm-hmm.
But, why teach a volcano to manage itself?
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. We have one more break coming up here, and we will very quickly be back with you to continue this this fascinating conversation here. And we'll be back very soon.
It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you take.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to resonancerepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to resonancerepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Listen closely because I'm about to ask you something that has probably never crossed your mind. Did you know that physical illness, depression, toxic relationships, financial struggles, even obesity, all have their roots in dysfunctional family patterns? Liz Tobin, a certified resonance repatterning practitioner, can help you begin to heal today. This breakthrough technique enables you to create positive change in any area of your life. You will effortlessly respond differently to situations and begin to attract new scenarios and opportunities in your life. Here is what people are saying about the Clearing Family Patterns Proxy Group.
This is planetary healing on a group level.
I've had this constant backache my whole life. It disappeared after just one session.
When you join the Clearing Family Patterns Proxy Group, you can clear these patterns. You'll be amazed at how each session seems tailored just for you. Try a free demonstration today. Learn more at liztobin.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Bongiorno, who is talking about trauma healing and closer to home in the South Bronx of New York City. And yes, Michelle, so you're saying here that you're seeing how these adolescent children who are living with trauma are acting out their trauma, trying to, in a way, discharge it through their behaviors and ADD and drugs and violence, and that it's really then a matter of helping them to reduce this activated energy, and then to help them to manage it. Right.
Yes.
Anything you want to add to that?
You know, I think a lot of the knowledge that we have available to us today invites us to totally rethink how we work with parenting groups, how we work with populations who are referred by the thousands nationally daily for anger management. It invites us to rethink how do we work with domestic violence and people who batter, that we have to really bring together the knowledge that we have, the processes we have, and the populations that need this, which is actually all of us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. Yes, I suppose the populations that you're dealing with, it's more obvious, maybe less camouflaged. You know, many of us, we've kind of built compensations around the traumas we've gone through, so we continue to function fairly reasonably. But underneath the surface, those traumas are there unresolved, aren't they?
Yes, and it's important to understand that with trauma, it's a very narrowing, constricting experience as we live with trauma over extended periods of time, and it can become totally debilitating. Depressions can set in, withdrawal from life, inabilities to function, and many can also function very well, but it's when they sit down and allow themselves in a safe setting to access what they're managing successfully, that in those situations healing can happen as well. So we can see from total debilitation to people who manage quite successfully, but with all trauma there's an impairment.
Yes. And in terms of the South Bronx, are there any particular situations or stories you can share with us on how they're using these skills or using resonance repatterning to help them manage?
You know, because I work with families at risk, they're often at risk because there's neglect. For some reason, the parents can't function well to provide the needs of the children, and so they're at risk for having their children taken away. Or the way they respond is in some way harmful or abusive to the child. And you see that parents want to be good parents. They have within them the blueprint for being a good parent, but they may not have the experience of it. And so when you can work with parents to begin changing some of these symptoms and see their behaviors as only symptoms, they're not bad people. You can really start having creating generational health rather than generational trauma. And I'm thinking of a parent who, he's got explosive rage. And he was referred to me, and he'll speak about just normal situations coming up in the family and being mobilized to fight. These will be his words. He'll say, I just feel myself gearing up for the fight. Mm-hmm. And the fight will be very damaging to the family, to the children. And if it goes far enough, those kids are going to show up at school with some kind of mark, yeah. and they're going to do some kind of reporting of it, and those children then suffer how we in society deal with that, and that's removing them from their family. And then they go through the traumas of separation. And so I think that, working with parents with their rage, parents will say, I just don't have as much anger. But they won't say it that way. They'll say, I'm more patient. I'm able to listen more now. When they don't have the reactive threat response, they're able to move into healthier behaviors. Mm-hmm. And it's true of you or me, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so we can really see that non-coherent response where we go into the automatic reaction, and then we lose our freedom to be coherent and move into a sense of well-being and joy in our relationships. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Michelle, based on your experience, why do you think resonance repatterning as a healing process is effective in working with this wide range of trauma symptoms?
You know, I think there's a few reasons. One is because it's a synthesis of many bodies of work, and that's, to me, one of its biggest strengths for resonance repatterning. It doesn't say this is better than that. You've pulled from, it's like going into a huge supermarket rather than a convenience store. First of all, built into the process are some of these basic principles of trauma healing. Also built into it are a wide range of modalities, which are resources. A resource is something that kind of jump starts the system to start picking up its own natural capacity to move back to healing, balance, health, discharge, if that's what you're wanting. So the full range of modalities that we have accessible and that we can use the kinesiology for to determine what does this person with their complexity of symptoms require to get kind of that healing process jump started so that it can just happen naturally then is a huge strength. And I think also because the different elements of experience, the emotions of experience, the meanings of experience, the sensations of experience, they get really jumbled up and discombobulated and distorted in trauma. The resonance repatterning sessions allow us to work with the elements that need working with in the order they need working with. Mm-hmm. And there'd be no, it's like untangling a ball of twine mm-hmm. that's all tangled up. The resonance repatterning process helps us do that untangling of what's holding the problem in place in a way that we can make many wrong turns with if just the client or the practitioner is going from their own mental figuring it out type
That's right.
approach.
Kind of with a left brain linear approach mm-hmm. Rather than the kinesiology to guide the approach.
And if the kinesiology guides the approach and you have the understanding behind, you can see, oh, this is where the kinesiology is guiding me, and then you use your left brain knowledge
That's
to
right.
facilitate that as yeah. skillfully as possible.
Yes. So it's nice, both left and right brain being worked together. Yes, wonderful. I just want to say, Michelle, I'm very grateful to you for filling in this broader sweep of understanding about trauma. And what you've said, Michelle, adds to yet more depth to what we heard on our February the 11th Living in Tune show with Shirley Collins, Clinical Director of Safe Home for Dealing with Domestic Violence. And, of course, on January the 28th, we had the show with April and Tabitha, when they shared their own personal healing from trauma by doing resonance repatterning sessions on themselves and receiving sessions. So unfortunately, our time is up because, Michelle, I would just love to hear your bigger vision for helping people. Can you, in 1 minute, just share something on your bigger vision for what you would like to see?
I think my bigger vision is really just to expand the opportunities where I can teach some of this material, to bring it into the hands of people.
Yeah.
And that to be able to make the knowledge accessible and in wide stream ways that people can benefit from. And it's exciting, the work that many people are doing and the work that you've done, Chloe, to help bring some of this incredible ancient and modern research and knowledge to people.
Wonderful. And if you want to contact Michelle, phone her at 845-434-7467. That is 845-434-7467. Thank you very much, Michelle. So I'd just like to say, next week's theme, we're going to be looking at the underlying issues behind weight problems, physical issues, and other unresolved pain. Join three experienced certified practitioners, Liz Tobin, Dorinda Hartson, and Jane Winnie, as we dialogue about the underlying patterns that relate to these problems and be inspired by new possibilities for understanding ourselves and others from the point of view of quantum physics and the choice for limitless possibilities. And a quick reminder, in the next 2 months, February, March 2009, our new website at resonancerepatterning.net will be up and running, and we're inviting all certified practitioners to list your name, certified resonance repatterning practitioners, to list your names, training, and specialties on our website so our listeners can find you and contact you for a session. Remember, you can download transcripts of all the shows, 52 shows, Living in Tune, Repatternings, and Interviews, anyone that interests you. And livingintune@gmail.com if you'd like to stay in touch with me and the Resonance Repatterning Institute so I can let you know about possible live sessions or shows that I may do in the future. That's my way to contact you if and when that happens. Again, Michelle, thank you for everything you've done today.
It's about your journey along the way. It's how you conduct yourself through the chances that you...
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Today I saw the sun up in the sky. Tomorrow I'll be flying high. I'll touch a star. If you have never